Hello and welcome to Truth and Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth and Journalism, we're going to talk about civil disobedience, and we're not going to look at a single news article today, but rather we're going to summarize a lot of things that you may have seen in the news, or more likely on your Facebook feed, or your Twitter feed, or even from the pulpit, depending on your pastor. There has been a recent rash of pastors and theologically minded people, but specifically pastors, who are coming out and saying something to the effect of, if you love Jesus, you'll get the COVID vaccine. Now, sometimes it's a little more subtle, sometimes a little less subtle, but on the whole, it can be summarized like that. If you love Jesus, you'll get the vaccine. And there are two primary ways in which this argument is formed, and both formulations are presumed by those proposing them to be unimpeachably logically consistent and both valid and verifiable. The arguments sound something like these, and again, these are representative of the arguments in general. First is the love your neighbor argument. It looks a little like this. Jesus commands you to love your neighbor. Getting the COVID vaccine is necessary to love your neighbor. Therefore, to obey Jesus' commands, you need to get the COVID vaccine. Second is the obey the government argument. It looks a little like this. The Bible commands you to obey the government. Obeying the government means getting the COVID vaccine. Therefore, to obey the Bible, you need to get the COVID vaccine. So, there you go. Those are the two positions laid out in syllogisms that are pretty airtight logically. I mean, I have no intention of addressing the logic of these arguments. Lots of people are using these arguments because logically they're sound. Yeah, this is my formulation of them, and I didn't spend a whole lot of time, so maybe you could pick a little piece apart of them, but that's not the point. The point is that these arguments seem logically reasonable. Both of them do, and most of their premises are unquestionably true. For instance, Jesus does command us to love our neighbors, and the government is considering commanding us to get the COVID vaccine. The problem is that not all the premises in these arguments are true. You see, you can have perfect logic and still be wrong. That's one of the things you learn when you study logic, is that your argument can be valid and still be untrue. You can be as logical as the day is long and still be wrong. Your reasoning can be right, but if your premises are wrong, then your point isn't made. Today, I want to consider the case for these two forms of the arguments that insist that Christians, if they're going to be good Christians, need to get the COVID vaccine. Like I said earlier, I'm not going to try to pick apart the logic because I'm the one that wrote these and I don't want to just punch up a straw man. You know, I know that that's the most popular form of argument nowadays is to fight a straw man, but I want to face the strongest argument, not the weakest. So let's consider first the if you love your neighbor because you love Jesus, you'll get the vaccine argument. So it's indisputably true that if you love Jesus, you need to love your neighbors. No question about it. 1 John 4:20 says, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Okay, so when there's a claim that we need to do a certain thing to love our neighbors, then we'd best take it seriously because nobody wants to be accused of hating God. Again, it's certainly true that loving our neighbors means having a concern for their health and taking precautions against spreading communicable diseases. We'll discuss that more later on. But remember, the Old Testament law has very clear passages about quarantine laws and not spreading communicable diseases, etc. So the way we handle disease is certainly within the purview of Christian love for neighbors. So this seems like an open and shut case, doesn't it? I mean, look, if you just want to love your neighbor the way Jesus tells you to, then suck it up, buttercup, and get the jab, because Jesus does command us to love our neighbors, and loving your neighbors does mean taking practical measures to prevent the spread of certain communicable diseases. Except there's a premise here that has to be proved, which hasn't been. And if this premise isn't proved, the whole argument collapses. Have you noticed there's something that hasn't been proved? Nobody, and I mean, not just me, but nobody proposing this argument has proved that getting the COVID vaccine objectively means loving your neighbor. Now, I'm sure that many people have gotten the vaccine for the subjective purpose of protecting their neighbors. I've got no doubt that lots of people got the vaccine because they believed it was the Christian thing to do, but that doesn't make it so. Simply believing that something will be an effective disease prevention measure doesn't make it true, and your belief that something prevents the spread of disease based on faith certainly doesn't overpower someone else's belief, and it certainly doesn't override the legitimate fears of side effects or their rejection of what they perceive as governmental tyranny. Because here's the thing, there is no evidence that the COVID vaccine stops the spread. None. You know how we know? Because people who've gotten the vaccine are still getting COVID and getting the new variants. You can find article after article that demonstrate in study after study that vaccinated people are getting and spreading COVID, particularly the Delta variant. What the researchers still claim is that, based on statistical analyses, getting the vaccine reduces the risk of death and the symptoms of the virus. So that means that getting the vaccine might be a really good choice if you're afraid of the virus. But that means that as a means of controlling the spread, it's pretty worthless. You could argue that because unvaccinated people are using up hospital resources, that the Christian way to show love to their neighbor would be to get the vaccine to reduce their symptoms and alleviate stress on the healthcare system. But that's a different argument. That's about risk, rewards, and prudence. And when we talk prudence, the absolute arguments go away. When we talk prudence, we have to recognize now that people have to make their own risk calculations. We don't get to make these Sinaitic theological pronouncements. Moreover, if we're going to make this argument, then those who make the Christian love argument also have to make the lose weight and get exercise argument, because obesity is literally killing this nation and stressing our healthcare system. Some have estimated the total annual medical cost of obesity in this country is $1.72 trillion, or about 10% of America's total income. We're spending 9.3 cents on every dollar because we're too fat. So a much stronger argument, if we're going to use the love your neighbor line of reasoning, is that Christians should shed some pounds. If we love our neighbors, we'll lose some LBs. And moreover, we could make all kinds of arguments like this. Once we get away from stopping the spread and disease prevention and get into the burdening the healthcare system arguments, all bets are off. I can make any argument as long as I can demonstrate that something causes an unnecessary strain on the healthcare system, and then I win. Cars are unchristian because car wrecks use up hospital time and resources. Also, no more kids playing sports, concussions and broken bones, you know? Just pretty much don't leave your house and only eat salad, and we'll all be living very safe Christian lives, right? But again, I want to remind you, if you think that getting the vaccine is prudent, get it. I don't believe it's prudent for me or my children. I'm much more concerned with my children getting myocarditis than coronavirus. I'm making a prudential decision, you know, like grown-ups do, like parents do. For instance, the current rate of developing myocarditis from the COVID vaccine, depending on which study you consider, is between 1 in 5 per 100,000. That means that if every child in the U.S. were vaccinated, even at the 1 to 100,000 ratio, about 750 kids would develop myocarditis. Saying that there are about 75 million kids between the ages of 0 and 18... not under 18, because the CDC calculates COVID deaths with 18-year-olds being considered part of the cohort of minors. If 1 in 5 did, it would be 3,750 kids would develop myocarditis. Considering that 11 in 100,000 get heart inflammation, that means that 8,250 kids in the U.S. would develop serious complications. How many kids have died of COVID in the U.S.? According to the CDC, as of 22 September, 544 kids ages 0 to 18 have died. 170 kids age 0 to 4, 374 kids 5 to 18. There are about 20 million Americans aged 4 and under. With a myocarditis rate of 1 to 5 per 100,000, that means if we vaccinate all the 4 and unders, that between 200 and 1,000 kids would get myocarditis. Even at 1 in 100,000, that's more than the number of kids in that cohort that have died from COVID. If you think the vaccine will best protect your children, I think you should reconsider the risk-reward ratios, but that's your choice. If you think I should get the vax, then I'll kindly tell you that I've considered the evidence and the arguments, biblical, theological, political, and medical, and I feel neither an obligation or an inclination to get the vaccine at this time. If you persist, I'll kindly tell you to mind your own business. If you continue to persist, I'll probably less kindly tell you to mind your own business. We have to consider the Christians obey the government argument as well, but I want to say one last word about the love your neighbor argument, since I think that this is the stronger and more convincing of these two weak and unconvincing arguments. Those who are telling me to get the vaccine because it'll save lives and stop the spread, how do you know that? Are you a virologist? Did you develop the vaccine? Are you a medical doctor? Have you looked at all the raw data to determine, from raw data, the efficacy of this vaccine? Probably not. Probably you're just trusting someone else. And that's okay. It's okay to trust someone else. We all have to make countless acts of trust just to get through our day. But we shouldn't trust untrustworthy people. And being a medical doctor doesn't make you virtuous. We used to know that in this country. You know who was a medical doctor? Josef Mengele. Being a doctor or a nurse doesn't make you a good person. Lots of doctors and nurses help murder babies through abortion. Being a doctor or a nurse doesn't make you moral. It doesn't make you a hero. Being a scientist doesn't make you virtuous. It means you have specialized training in a specific field. We need to stop giving unearned moral authority to these public health bureaucrats. The public health bureaucracy has lost all trust in my mind. Once you lose the ability to tell boys from girls, you lose the ability for me to trust your medical advice. If you can't be trusted with the lesser, why should you be trusted with the greater? Now, if you want to continue to trust the CDC, the NIH, NIAID, Big Pharma, Fauci, you're within your rights, but I think that trust is misplaced. But like I said, we have to consider the good Christians obey the government argument. And there's a lot of talk about what the Christian response to vax mandates is. Predictably, many of these interpretations are long on political preference and short on biblical exegesis. First, let's look at some wrong ways to consider the theological implications of vaccine mandates, and then we'll look at a good answer. First, those who just yell, Romans 13, as though that were some kind of knockout punch are either ignorant or lying. While the Bible does command Christians to submit to the governing authorities, this does not mean believers are never to disobey. You know, we consider there to be a Daniel. You know, we talk about Paul running away from Aretas in the city of Damascus. Christians are not bound either by any law that's illegal or unconstitutional. Paul gladly asserted his rights as a citizen to not be flogged without trial and to appeal to Caesar. Indeed, Christians who knowingly permit illegal and unconstitutional and immoral laws by voting for them, obeying them, or promoting them are actually behaving in an unchristian way. Christians should uphold the rule of law. The idea that law is greater than the king is kind of the Christian idea, right? Check out Samuel Rutherford and Lex Rex if you don't know about this topic, but it's an important one. Second, Christians that want to argue that vaccine mandates are unbiblical are painfully ignorant of the whole scope of biblical law. The Mosaic Law's fundamental interpersonal legal philosophy is that we are our brother's keepers, and thus we must behave so as to protect our neighbors. This includes restrictive and even liberty-hindering prophylactic laws, like building a parapet around the roof so that people don't fall off. The Old Testament clearly demonstrates that God has an interest in the prevention of communicable diseases, such as leprosy. And given the Mosaic acceptance of prophylactic laws, there is a clear and unequivocal and unbeatable argument for the biblical correctness of vaccine mandates in general. But while all is clear that vaccine mandates in general have full biblical theological support, that doesn't mean that all vaccine mandates are therefore good and right. Moreover, just because vaccine mandates as a theory should be obeyed by Christians, it doesn't mean that every vaccine mandate must be obeyed. There are several reasons for this. I'm just going to highlight two. First, if a Christian in all good conscience believes a law to be illegal or unconstitutional, that Christian has a Christian duty to disobey that law because it's unconstitutional or illegal. Should the circumstances arise, Christians have a duty to be good citizens. Obeying and promoting illegal and unconstitutional laws is bad citizenship because it erodes the rule of law and creates a tyranny. Second, if a Christian believes that the risk of harm in taking the vaccine is greater than the perceived benefit, then the biblical theological argument for taking the vaccine is erased because the vaccine mandate violates a higher law and principle, which is to steward our health for the glory of God. People who have good faith fears of vaccine-caused side effects must make their own best decisions on how to best steward their bodies to the glory of God. The law or mandate is null and void. If the government tells you to drink poison, you won't do it. If they command you to start smoking a pack a day, you won't do it. If they start telling pregnant moms to take thalidomide, they won't do it. We recognize that the Christian has no moral obligation to obey a government order to harm ourselves if that harm does not serve some theologically greater purpose. To make a theological case that Christians should do something they perceive as harmful because the government compels them, then you have to make a compelling theological case that the harmful behavior being compelled is being compelled legally, and that the rewards of life saved significantly and compellingly outweigh the risks. There is no such compelling theological argument being made. Now, none of this should be done flippantly. None of this should be just done whimsically and without actually considering the theological arguments, because public health is of serious concern to the Christian citizen. But so is citizenship, and so is the rule of law. When we consider these two arguments, when we consider the Christians have to get vaccinated because Jesus tells us to love our neighbor argument, we can see that that argument is fundamentally false because it presupposes what it's trying to prove, which is that the vaccination will actually demonstrate meaningful love to your neighbor. The argument that Christians have to just obey the government all the time argument also fails because it's fundamentally unbiblical. There are at least two reasons I just gave. And in these two examples, you can see reasons why you would have a theological justification in not obeying the law. Now, am I telling you to get the vax or not get the vax? I don't know. Make your own best decision. Use your own wisdom. Use the freedom you have in Christ. But stop making bad theological arguments. I hope that we see today that the theological arguments that Christians must get the COVID vaccine, they're busted. Maybe you should get the vax. Maybe you shouldn't. That's a prudential decision that you need to make by yourself. But stop making bad theological arguments. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you. May God bless your day to His glory.